previously broadcast program.
Spitfire breathes the lives of women of color in Montreal. We come together to say no to the silencing of our voices.
Sé que siempre te tengo a mi lado.
No me quedo nada. Si pudiera yo volver para atrás. Es que el tiempo se me va y nada. Me acuerdo la luz de tu mirada. Ay, mi beba, te me libran de los malos ojos.
We welcome you to another edition of Spitfire. Spitfire is a monthly radio broadcast for women of color by women of color that airs every last Wednesday of the month on CKUT 90.3 FM. First off, Spitfire acknowledges that we are settlers on the traditional territory of the Gunungahaga people. The Gunungahaga are the keepers of the eastern door of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. We believe it is not enough just to acknowledge the keepers of this land and that everyone, including ourselves, should seek greater awareness to actively confront colonialism and neocolonialism in their many forms and work to deconstruct and decolonialize. Starting points for self-education are reclaimturtleisland.ca and idlenomore.ca.
For my active land acknowledgement, I'd like to give thanks for the change of seasons that has brought us into fall. I'm not usually a fall person, but I cannot ignore the landscape's changing colors from green to the warm oranges, reds, and yellows. We can take solace in the warm colors, even though the air may be a bit crisp. We acknowledge the changing landscape and welcome it as a sign of new things to come.
I really like that. That was pretty. I've also been enjoying the fall this year more than usual, and we've been having some really good weather this week.
Exactly. Like, I mean, can't ignore it. Like, I'm always and forever will be a summer baby.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I mean, I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, where my desk is now is like I'm looking out the window and I just see trees like in between like the skyscrapers, but like they're all changing and like it's just, I don't know, it's like against the sky. It's just, I don't know, gives me the feels.
Feelings. Well, for tonight's show, we're going to be touching on some headlines of what's been happening in the world, mostly what stood out to us and what we feel is important to talk about on the show. And then we're going to change the tempo a little bit by sharing a healing and profound poem by U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Mm-hmm. And finish our show with a little self-care as usual. So stay tuned for this and much more on Spitfire Women of Color Radio, CKUT 90.3 FM.
Whatever I'm losing myself in the darkness of the world. Catch me before I fall. Saving myself is all I really know. Seen it been done before. I'm a dynasty. The pain in my vein is hereditary.
Welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. You were just listening to You're With Me by Beatrice Deer, a Canadian Inuk singer from Quatuc, Quebec, and Dynasty by Rina Sawayama, who is no stranger to our show.
So, as usual, we're starting off with some highlights and headlines that caught our attention during the month of October. So, I don't think you could have been alive and not heard about Joyce Ekchuan, who was a 37-year-old Atikamekw woman who died very unfortunately on September 28th, 2020 at a hospital in Joliet, Quebec. Mm-hmm. And during her, well, just before her death, really, she recorded a Facebook Live video that showed her screaming and was in like a lot of distress. And in the video, you can hear the healthcare workers that are around her saying like racist and derogatory comments. And she, when she was talking, she was asking for help in her language, her native language of Atikamekw. And so according to PTN News, there's been an inquest into her death, and the nurse and the orderly have subsequently been fired. However, they've maintained their licensing, so it is possible that they can still practice their professions elsewhere. And I believe that the family, the Ekchuan family, has said that they have already sued the hospital, or that they are going to sue the hospital, including all of the implicated healthcare workers. And it's been something that's caused a lot of waves, obviously, and for really good reason across the province. But particularly because François Legault, our premier, has condemned the medical staff's comments and by calling them racism, but then neatly
Now that was
It
so
just
messed up. It's like in the
said,
same breath.
I know, like in this almost in the same sentence, just was denied that systemic racism had anything to do with her passing. So obviously this has sparked like a big uproar against systemic racism, which is so prevalent in this province and all across the country, particularly for Indigenous people. And so many Indigenous leaders and advocates are calling for actions to decolonize the healthcare system and really to recognize how systemic racism plays a role in the everyday lives of Indigenous folks, but particularly when it comes to accessing the various public services such as healthcare that we all should have, equal and
Absolutely.
fair treatment under. So that's been something that has been really, really important this month. And I mean, we had thought about, well, we had tried to get an Indigenous woman on the show today to talk about this more in depth. However, we had some planning issues, so we're gonna, I guess, do this another month, hopefully.
We're going to try and do this for November, hopefully, and get their voices on the air.
And as if that wasn't like intense enough, because it's very intense, to just kind of be a even just like a passive observer of that these things unfolding. There's been a whole bunch of news this month also around the N-word. So I know. So
2020.
basically, I know. I just can't believe that I even have to say this right now. But basically, there's been two instances that have been like widely publicized. The first, which happened, I think this week, was a high school teacher in Montreal North, who was called out after using the N-word multiple times during an online class, both in English and French. And he's a history professor at Henri Bourassa High School, which is like a large and diverse French school in the city's northeast area. And so this is coming in the wake of a similar incident involving a professor at the University of Ottawa who also used the N-word in one of her classes. So obviously, particular to the Montreal community, like organizers and advocates and members of the Black community have been speaking out against this and really calling out the use of the N-word by white and non-Black POC folks, just stating that the word shouldn't be used, period. I'm not sure how that's hard to understand, but
Apparently it is.
apparently it is. And this is also like there's this weird backlash towards it where it's creating a debate around the idea of censorship. And like, I don't know about for you, Mercedes, but for me, this seems strange because this isn't about, to me, like censoring ideas. It's about using respectful language.
Yeah, no,
And,
absolutely.
basically, like the N word, in my opinion, as again, like as a non-Black POC woman, is that it's an abbreviation of an offensive word that can easily be substituted. Like it's not as if it detracts away from the meaning of it in a sentence.
It's
Because
understood, even if the word isn't written, it's understood what they're referring to. And I feel that people are using this as a way to kind of excuse its use by always saying, but no, it's within the context of like education, it's in the context of X, Y, and Z. But it's like there's no context to it. You just don't say it. And it's been said time and time again why this word is not used and not spoken out loud by people who are not Black for that reason, or who have no attachment to the history of this word. And I feel like in this era that we're living in, especially over the last few years, people have taken liberties as to how they can kind of, quote unquote, bend the rules or find exceptions, and then also like quote like cover it under the guise of yes, but it's now. You're censoring me. And it's like it's not a, and like you said, it's not a question of censorship in terms of like the what you're trying to teach, but in terms of the use of that word so liberally from by people who don't understand that they cannot say this.
Yeah, I mean, it ends up being violent, right? I completely agree with everything you're saying. And to me, it just seems really stupid because, like, this shouldn't be a debate centered around like academic integrity or in censorship of like thought. You can say what you're thinking, just use the appropriate language. That's all the people are asking for. And it's like the basic, to me, it's a basic question of respect. Like, it's a basic question of like treating others with dignity.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it's particularly in the educational context, like it sets a bad precedent for the students in your classroom. Like they should be taught how to speak respectfully towards people, even when you're talking about topics that, can be really sensitive or can be really, are, somewhat taboo. And I say that with kind of like, I don't know, a grain of salt, because obviously it depends a lot on the context in which you're saying it. Like, you shouldn't be ever like, glorifying the word in any case. But if it's appropriate in the educational context, then just say it in a different way, in a way that doesn't make people feel uncomfortable. I really don't understand how there's any pushback at all against this. It should just be like this.
It reminds me of like this image I've seen like floating a lot on Instagram. It's like, we can debate pizza toppings, we're not about to debate racism. And I
Exactly.
think that just it's just plain and simple and to the point. This is not a debate.
No, it's
Racism
really
should never be a debate. Triggering words should never be a debate. If you've been called out on something, acknowledge the wrongdoing, learn from it, correct it, but don't defend it.
So I feel like this is gonna take, like, this will probably still like be very prevalent in the news over the next few weeks, just 'cause it's like kind of there's been like a snowball effect around this. So I think it will be kind of interesting to see where it goes, although hopefully nowhere, and people all of a sudden just realize stop using that word.
I mean, I that's the hope, but I feel like especially in this province, it's kind of brushed off as, or like in most places where white supremacy reigns free. It's kind of like it's in the past. Get over it. And I feel like that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't think these teachers will have any kind of repercussions. I don't think anything in terms of a teachable moment will come out of this. I feel like, and I mean, it's really pessimistic on my end, but it's kind of just history repeating itself. This isn't the first time that something like this has come up. This is not going to be the last that it comes up. And I feel like until Quebec is able to recognize its own racist history, the system won't change. And I mean, I'm glad that, we live in an era of like social media where, I mean, it's kind of intense to say, but I mean, the only kind of accountability that ever comes in situations is literally from social media because of all the backlash, and it forces them to do something about it. It would have been nice if it was something that was done on their own, but I'm just glad that there are people who are willing to continue to fight for this and fight for the change that is needed for accountability to happen. And like you said, I just hope that this is the last that we have to discuss kind of this kind of situation happening, especially in a classroom.
Agreed. Well, speaking of social media, you're reminding me of another kind of important recent news event, which was what happened in Nigeria recently, where there's been acts of state violence committed against protesters who have been protesting against police brutality. So, it's been a really seemingly like a really crazy sequence of events. So, like, I saw this news broadcast where a Nigerian woman who's in Nigeria, and she's a lawyer and advocate and a member of the protests, was talking about how there's been like a lot of peaceful but well-organized and very prevalent protests against police brutality in the country, particularly in Lagos, over the last couple of weeks. And that I think it was on Wednesday of last week, so in late October, the state, well, the police and armed militia of the state opened fire on protesters in the middle of the night while they while protesters were singing the national anthem of Nigeria. And this was caught on social media. And so it kind of spread like wildfire among, you know, all over the country and really like all over the world. And it's really disturbing footage because, like, I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen a couple of the clips of the videos, but you can hear people singing it, and it's the evening time, it's dark out, and protesters are holding the Nigerian flags, and all of a sudden you hear gunfire, and it's just really, really, it's really disturbing. And so, like, I guess my thoughts go out to, you know, the Nigerian community. I work a lot with Nigerian women in Montreal, and I know that there's been like a lot of people are pretty upset about it. And so, I don't know, I just hope that the violence ends there.
No, absolutely. And I haven't watched any of the videos. I've seen like the thumbnails and everything going around. But I can't even fathom that we are living in this kind of like era where, you know, if we didn't have social media, I don't think any of this would have gotten covered. And it also brought me back to kind of like when the Rwandan genocide was happening, and kind of like the world be like turning kind of a blind eye to it until, you know, voices were being like brought through like television screens, and like the images coming, like started coming, and that's when people were like, you know, go down. This is happening. And I just hope that, you know, the, like, we talk about the United Nations, and I feel like they shouldn't wait to intervene until it gets bad. I feel like situations like this should be deemed exceptional circumstances where global intervention can be authorized. Because at this point, it's a state systematically killing their own citizens for their, you know, for their right to live. And I'm like, I'm, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, we can share, you know, the hashtags, the resources, who to contact to be able to, you know, like in terms of like politicians, but I don't think it should be on a citizen's level only. I think governments should be able to intervene in situations such as this. I'm not saying get involved in all like aspects of different countries, like political, you know, doings, just because that, you know, that was the whole, that's what happened during like colonialism, and we don't need any kind of like colonialist, you know, interventions. But I just feel like in terms of just the human aspect, I think there needs to be some way to hold these governments accountable for what they're doing to everyday citizens who are just basically speaking out about, like, speaking out against a government that's killing them wrongfully or detaining them wrongfully. But, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of attention that's being brought to this issue all across the globe, really. I mean, even this last weekend in Montreal, there was the 10th annual Justice for Victims of Police Killing Vigil. And so this is an event that happens every year in connection with the movement to defund the police and reinvest in communities. And our local coalition has like a list of demands for the police force, which include like defunding, disarming, decolonializing, and reinvesting and decriminalizing. So I think, you know, the points that you're making are really relevant because these are things that people are asking for in their own communities, like all over the place. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I don't know, we'll see like I guess a shift in how people treat the issue of police brutality.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And our last little bit of news for this show is that this month, Quebec, the province of Quebec, has reached just over 100,000 cases of COVID-19. So this is a bit depressing, as we know that this pandemic only continues, like seemingly only continues to get worse and to take more lives. Yeah. So I just want to acknowledge and send, you know, my thoughts to those who have lost their loved ones in the province and really all over the place. And we know in particular that the COVID-19 pandemic has a greater impact on communities of color, and particularly for the Black, Latino, and Filipino communities in the province who are often healthcare workers.
Yeah. So it's going to be hard, especially with those disparities, but as much as people can, stay safe, use the resources that you have. And yeah, you know, COVID is a very particular situation where we do see, like it's been said time and time again, we do see cracks in like our healthcare infrastructure and just the way that, you know, governments are like who we vote for, you know, every electoral cycle, like fail their constituents. And I think this is just one of those things where, again, it comes back to accountability. And I think we've been very good at trying to hold the government accountable. But also I think we as community also just need to continue to support each other and try to get through this as best we can as well in the meantime.
Definitely. I agree with that.
And with that, we'll take a short musical break. Thank you, Julia, for those headlines, as usual, on point and very profound. And we will be right back with more Spitfire Women of Color Radio right here on CKOT 90.3 FM. Yourself creeping up my shoulder.
Welcome back to Spitfire, Women of Color Radio and CKUT 90.3 FM. You were just listening to Little Dragon, who is giving us some old school R&B vibes with Another Lover. I love her so much. I really love them so much.
bringing it back a little bit. It's been a while. Like, I can't remember the last time like we actually played Little Dragon. I was like, oh, let's
You know, do I was supposed to see her in April, but then the pandemic messed up my plans. I know. I'm really disappointed. And I actually, now you make me think about it, I still haven't gotten refunded for that show. But
oh, get on it. Get
I know. I'm like, but yeah, I'll just have to wait until the next time she comes around.
But yeah, maybe they give you a credit. But that's the thing. Like, I hope, you know, we'll have some kind of normalcy, you know, when coming back, especially with the music scene, because I feel like the festivals are a way for us to kind of break free and relax and release all that stress.
Yeah, so that's something I miss a lot, like, because I don't go out that much, but I do really like to go see shows. And so, you know, for me, that was one of the things that I would plan, like, probably a few, like, at least 3 times a year, just to, like, yeah, like, I really like going to see live music. And I think we're lucky here in Montreal, because we often do get a lot of good, you know, music coming through. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. So with that, I'd like to share a little something, because I feel like during these times, like in the last few months, it's been a little bit hard. So just trying to share a little positivity and healing. So I was feeling a bit lost this month because of everything that was going on in the world. It really does seem that 2020 is shaping up to be the year of unrest. Mm-hmm. Some say when you're looking for healing, the best place to look for it is in a poem. So I said, why not? Started looking, and that's when I came across this poem by Joy Harjo.
I haven't heard of her. Who is she? She's a writer?
Yeah, so Joy Harjo was appointed to the United States Poet Laureate in 2019. She was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and is a member of the Muskoki Cree Nation. She is also the author of several books of poetry, including American Sunrise, which is forthcoming from W.W. Norton in 2019, and Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. So she's current chancellor of the Academy of American Poets. And oh, I didn't know about this, so I was really happy that I came across this, because it's opened my eyes, kind of like, I need to expand my search for more Indigenous authors. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad. I feel like this was kind of like meant to be, so to speak.
Cool. Well, I look forward to hearing you read it.
Thank you. So the poem I'd like to share with all of you by Joy is called For Calling the Spirit Back from Wandering the Earth in Its Human Feet. Put down that bag of potato chips, that white bread, that bottle of pop. Turn off that cell phone, computer, and remote control. Open the door, then close it behind you. Take a breath offered by friendly winds. They travel the earth gathering essences of plants to clean. Give it back with gratitude. If you sing it, will give your spirit lift to fly to the stars, ears, and back. Acknowledge this earth who has cared for you since you were a dream planting itself precisely within your parents' desire. Let your moccasin feet take you to the encampment of the guardians who have known you before time. You'll be there after time. They sit before the fire that has been there without time. Let the earth stabilize your post-colonial insecure jitters. Be respectful of the small insects, birds, and animal people who accompany you. Ask their forgiveness for the harm we humans have brought down upon them. Don't worry. The heart knows the way, though there may be high rises, interstates, checkpoints, armed soldiers, massacres, wars, and those who will despise you because they despise themselves. The journey might take you a few hours, a day, a year, a few years, 100, 1,000, or even more. Watch your mind. Without training, it might run away and leave your heart for the immense human feast set by the thieves of time. Do not hold regrets. When you find your way to the circle, to the fire kept burning by the keepers of your soul, you will be welcomed. You must clean yourself with cedar, sage, or other healing plants. Cut the ties you have to failure and shame. Let go the pain you're holding in your mind, your shoulders, your heart, all the way to your feet. Let go the pain of your ancestors to make way for those who are heading in our direction. Ask for forgiveness. Call upon those who love you. Those helpers take many forms: animal, element, bird, angel, saint, stone, or ancestor. Call your spirit back. It may be caught in corners and creases of shame, judgment, and human abuse. You must call in a way that your spirit will want to return. Speak to it as you would to a beloved child. Welcome your spirit back from its wandering. It may return in pieces, in tatters. Gather them together. They will be happy to be found after being lost for so long. Your spirit will need to sleep a while after it's bathed and given clean clothes. Now you can have a party. Invite everyone you know who loves and supports you. Keep room for those who have no place else to go. Make a giveaway and reminder and remembers. Keep the speeches short. Then you must do this. Help the next person find their way through the dark.
Hello? Can I speak to... Oh, never mind. So won't you...
to stay the same, even though you're not yourself, and you've got somebody else. When they tell you that you've got yourself to blame, even though it's not your flow, but your heart just wants to know. No. From the subway,
you looked my way,
with your girl gaze,
with your girl gaze.
That was the day,
everything changed.
Now it's something else.
Holding on.
Welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. You were just listening to Cherry by Rina Sawayama. Wow, I actually really appreciated that poem. There's a line in it that I find to be super beautiful. Call your spirit back. It may be caught in the corners and creases of shame, judgment, and confuse. That's so powerful. I really, really love that. I feel like it's a great way of describing how people deal with a whole range of problems, but particularly like, you know, mental health stuff. And really like how hard, like the image of like shame being like shoved into like the little corners and creases, I find that to be really powerful because it's such a hard emotion to get rid of, you know? It's something that really gets into you deep. So I don't know, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and then when it's, like she says later on, like cut the ties you have to failure and shame, I feel like that like it goes back to exactly what you just finished saying, because we have a tendency to carry them with us. Mm-hmm. Like these emotions or like these instances where we think that, you know, I'm a failure, I'm always going to be a failure, no matter what I'm going to do next, I'm going to fail. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to leave that behind to be able to grow. Mm-hmm. And just learn to let go and know that this we've learned something, or because we've experienced something, it's not something, you know, that we're at fault for or that we should feel responsibility for. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great reminder to be able to kind of, you know, you need to shed it, like dead skin, like what snakes do. It's like the skin is gone. We have a new skin, we have a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And we keep that going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, totally. And it also, like, in this poem kind of nicely brings it back where she talks about, like, having a party and inviting everyone who loves and supports you and keeping room for other people. And I think that's really beautiful, too, because it really speaks to the fact that, like, healing, yeah, like, individual healing is really important, but you can't heal all alone usually. And really, like, there are different types of healing, and I think that, you know, community healing or healing in relationships is also really important, and you need to be able to do that with others.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's a really cool part about this poem too. And actually reminds me of an experience that I had really recently where, like, I guess with the pandemic, like, everybody is so lonely, and particularly like old folks. And I know this woman who is 91 years old, and she's a survivor of domestic violence. And after, like, finally, I think of many years of marriage, like, getting the courage to leave her husband, she decided that she, like, never wanted to be in a relationship again, and she never had children with this person, because with her ex-partner, because of how violent he was. And so now she's in the, you know, late stages of her life, and with the coronavirus, like, she's really isolated. And I have been, like, randomly from time to time speaking on the phone with her. And it's been really interesting because, like, she's talking a lot about, like, the abuse that she's experienced, but that happened, like, when she was in her 20s and 30s. So it's literally been, like, you know, like decades since she's experienced. But she's telling me things like, I don't know why, but it comes back all the time. And, like, that what you live, like, it stays with you in your soul and in your heart. And I feel like I need to get it out. And so when I'm reading this and I'm thinking, like, okay, like, the shame and the judgment and all this human abuse, and it's getting stuck in these places in your soul, really, and having to get that out. Yeah. And you do that by calling your spirit back. I just find that really beautiful. And then sharing it with other people and healing and moving forward. And I find that to be so true in so many different ways.
Yeah. And I think it's lovely, like, what you're doing, because I feel like you're doing exactly what she says at the end of the poem. You know, like help the next person find their way through the dark, and you're doing exactly that. Like her being able to speak with somebody about this after so long, I think that's in a sense like her like cleansing her spirit after so many years also, and it's like continuing to do it. And I think that's just beautiful in terms of the relationship that you've created with her to be able to do that. And it's just wonderful. It's absolutely just wonderful.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. I mean, it's kind of funny because I don't know. It's just like a random, it's not random. She's like what a friend's great aunt that I randomly met at her wedding. And like for whatever reason, she just really liked me. And so that's why we were like randomly talk on the phone sometimes. And it's, I don't know, I find it interesting because like I never, it's like an older Quebecois woman who like I never would have, I don't know, I just would, I don't know anybody like that, you know? And so I find it kind of funny that like I have this funny relationship with this older lady who like we talk on the phone every once in a while because she's lonely because of COVID. And it's, I don't know why that poem just made made me think of that,
Well,
but
because you're living it.
yeah.
That's what I think. And I mean, the people we meet, like I like to think like of that saying, like the people we meet, it's not necessarily by accident. And there's a lesson in every interaction, whether it be good or bad, but it's something that you can take moving forward into your next relationship or your next interaction. So maybe there's a reason that she just happened to pick you and like you, and now you have this. But it's not something that's going to be known until the very end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious to read more about or to read more of Joy Harjo's work though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like after that, I was just like, ugh, ugh. I love it. And just like it makes you think of like the moments that you're living. And especially like in the like for me it was like the first line was just like put down the bag of chips, the white bread and the bottle of pop, and then turn off your cell phone, computer and remote control. And I'm like, what? And just like open the door and then close behind you. I was just like, I think we forget to do that sometimes. Especially now that like during this confinement period, I feel like now we're so attached to screens because it's the only way we can have any kind of interaction, whether it be like Skyping friends or family or texting friends and family or whatever through work or even like when we're going out, we don't want to go out to restaurants, so we're just grabbing anything quick and like we just sit down in front of like our screens and then we just wait for the next day. And I feel like it's hard to kind of remember that, you know, outside isn't forbidden, even though we're confined to our homes at this moment. We can still open that door and feel the wind on our faces, on our skin, to have some kind of interaction with the outside without having to interact with like human beings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, really, I mean, I think this is a great segment into our last little part on self-care because really I think this poem also speaks to self-care too. Like how do you call back your spirit and what is she really meaning when she says like turn off the cell phone, the computer and the remote control and put down the bottle of chips? And I think to me that speaks to self-care because it's like saying like sometimes what you need is difficult. And like for me, I know that particularly like in the evenings and on the in the weekends, like after a, like a lot of work and you know just everything, like I just want to like veg out. Like I just want to like you know
Disconnect.
be yeah disconnect totally. And I think that that's normal and good too. But I also think there are times when you want to practice self-care and really what that can mean doing things that are also like harder but ultimately better for you know or that like get you places you know. So I think
Absolutely.
there's lots of wisdom to be taken from this poem.
For sure. 100% agree with you. And what have you been doing for self-care this month?
What have I been doing?
You've had time,
To be honest, this month is tough because it's also the month of like the second wave and new lockdown. And I've honestly just been trying to, similar to like your little acknowledge your land acknowledgement in the beginning, like I've been trying to spend as much time as possible outside before the winter comes. And so I guess I've just been trying to go for like walks and some runs and doing stuff outside as much as possible. Yeah, that's probably as much self-care as I've been doing. How about
no,
you?
I mean, it's still good. It's still self-care, you know? What have I been doing? I think I've been investing a lot of time in my plants and trying to keep them alive.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Because last year, it didn't go so well. I think about half of them ended up like transitioning, if you will. And I think it was just kind of reflective, like me not taking care of myself, because I think it's the first time that I've experienced just like, I don't know if it was seasonal depression or what it was, but it's just I wasn't myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stopped taking care of myself, and in so doing, just taking care of my plants.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now I'm like in taking care of my plants, I'm also remembering like, oh, I need water too. Oh, I need a little bit of sunlight. Oh, I think like I need to trim here and there, you know, and that's been very helpful. So that's what I've been doing this month in preparation for the winter. So
that's lovely.
They're all prepared, I think.
What kind of plants do you have? Just like house plants or any?
House plants. So I have like spider plants. I have two spider plants that I've had like over the years. So like one's in the bedroom, one's in the living room, because now they're just like huge. So I can't really put them in the windowsill. It's a very narrow windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
So I have those. I bought a hibiscus.
It got sick,
but then I don't know what happened. It started, I guess like I trimmed off all the infected leaves, and now it's kind of restarting to grow again.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, I was just like, yes, I saved you, because I was really sad. Like, I didn't understand why it was dying so quickly, because they bloom and then like it falls off and then blooms again. So it's like, okay, but at some point it just stopped, and I was like, no, and then it started again, like after I kind of like changed the soil a little bit, and that came back. And then I have a rosemary plant, I have an aloe vera.
Nice.
I have a thyme plant, and then some tropical plants. I don't know their names, but it's like one my dad gave me, like two. Well, one my dad gave me, and two I bought. So I have those. So I'm stocked up, if you will.
That's awesome. I really like plants too. Anytime you want to nerd out on plant talk, you can call me.
Oh, cool. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so down for that.
I get it from my mom, for real, because actually maybe we should do another show on this another time.
Oh, yes.
But like, yeah, I feel like that's a big factor in a lot of like immigrant households, where they kind of try and recreate the environment of like what they're used to. Yeah, but we'll save it for another show.
Yes, I'm down. Well, with that, just one little announcement before we end our show. We had shared this message on our personal Facebook pages, but would like to formally continually share this with all of you listening. We as a collective need to practice what we preach, and would like to share this message with you in preparation for our November show. So, we at Spitfire are offering our platform to Indigenous and Inuit sisters who would like to use our time on air to vent and or discuss issues that have transpired over this month or next month or whatever month it may be. It is our duty to say no to the silencing of the voices of BIPOCs everywhere, especially in Montreal and in this territory. If you are interested, please do not hesitate to reach out. It would be our honor to share our space with you. And with that, Spitfire Women of Color broadcasts every last Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. on CQT 90.3 FM. If you are a femme of color and want to partake in the space, this is a platform for you too, so please reach out. We can be reached at Spitfire at CQT.ca, and we are easily reachable on our Facebook page named Spitfire Women of Color Radio. Have a good evening, y'all. Stay safe.
Bye.
You're a mirror to my soul, so why then would you leave me here just half a hole? Your reflection lives in me, but I won't always be the eye for you to see.
I'm a mirror to your soul, and tell me why I feel invisible. You only see what you've been told, but all I see is this fire that keeps growing on.
Teen. We must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Mandla, your weekly news show with briefings and analysis from the continent of Africa. This week, we are here with Raj Kanji as a new correspondent in Sackville, New Brunswick. And Raj's history with the show dates back a long time, including sending his son to work with us over 15 years ago when he was a student at McGill. So welcome, Raj, and we're